I'd like now to welcome Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, Linda.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
So the domestic partner bill has had what looks like an early demise.
Well, we like to think of it as a temporary setback. We'll have to see if we can pick up another vote to get that bill out of committee, but it is currently on the table in the Senate Judiciary Committee.
So in the Senate Judiciary Committee, it was a split vote, and when it's even, it was 5-5, right?
Yes.
And so when it's even, then a bill is tabled. It doesn't move on any further. I wanted to ask you, okay, so we have 5 votes for domestic partnership, 5 votes against. We've talked in the past what domestic partnership bill is all about. To what extent is the population of New Mexico divided? Does this represent the thinking of New Mexicans across the state? I mean, I would think in Santa Fe, which is more liberal than maybe other parts of the state, it's not representative.
Well, that's a really good question. Of course, the domestic partner bill is not marriage. It is a bill that would give people, either gay or straight, some of the same rights and responsibilities that people who are married have. And, you know, we have done polling over the years, and when you talk about legal protections, a majority of New Mexicans, this was a poll in 2006, a majority of New Mexicans support having legal protections for gay and lesbian couples.
Now, is that like, when you say majority, is that like 51%, or is it a significant majority?
Well, it's over 50%. You know, it varies. But is it an issue that people are divided on? Absolutely. But when you survey people under the age of 30, it is like in the 70% supportive of these kinds of issues. So it really is a generational thing.
So you were speaking the other day on the air about the importance of, A, talking to legislators before the session even began, and, B, the importance of having a statewide movement in whatever the issue is. Did that happen with the domestic partnership bill?
Oh, absolutely. There have been local groups working on these issues for years. And, you know, we're building tremendous support. It took 12 years for us to pass through the legislature the Human Rights Act, which provided protections for sexual orientation and gender identity for people. And this bill has been introduced this is only the third year. Now, hopefully it won't take 12 years, but issues like this are built on education and grassroots and people understanding. And gay and lesbian people coming out and telling their friends and their neighbors and their coworkers, so people can see, well, why shouldn't everyone have the same equal rights and equal access?
To what extent are people still closeted, in your view? I mean, 25, 30, and certainly 50 years ago, it was very dangerous for one's employment and one's social status and so on to come out as gay or lesbian, but it seems like it's not so much of an issue now. More people are coming out. Is there still a lot of closet, what should we say, activity in New Mexico?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we live in Santa Fe, and to most of us, it feels somewhat safe to come out. But other parts of the state and certainly other parts of the country, it's not safe to be out. And even though we're one of, I believe, 15 states, only 15 states that have employment protections for sexual orientation and gender identity, there are plenty of states that don't, and you never know if you're being fired because of if you're gay or not.
Right.
And hate crimes are still prevalent based on sexual orientation. So it's not a great world out there, although in the United States it's certainly better than many other countries.
So the people are going to really work on the Senate Judiciary Committee, see if one person will switch their vote, then it's alive, otherwise wait till next year.
Yes. I guess that's pretty much it. But we have not given up hope yet, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Now, there are also bills concerning the question of domestic violence. What is the bill on the floor of the Senate today?
The bill on the floor today is about community property. I guess what happens sometimes in domestic violence situations is one of the spouses or the partner in the situation will take community property or wreck, you know, smash the windshield of the car of the other person, but it's technically community property. So this bill is trying to provide some protection there for to prevent the abuser from destroying the property that's joint in the relationship. And there are a number of domestic violence bills. There are some very hot issues, and the Coalition for Domestic Violence is actually concerned about an issue where if a police officer comes to a domestic violence shelter looking for someone, that they really need a search warrant to go in there and get that person, whereas they're just coming sometimes and showing up without having any documentation.
Very interesting.
Yes.
In terms of the community property, it brings up something that I think you and I have talked about before. When somebody's about to commit a crime of passion, like smashing in their spouse's windshield, suppose there's a new law. Are they going to say, gosh, I think I won't do this because the legislature passed a stronger new law this year?
Well, isn't that the case with many of the laws that we pass that are passed in the legislature? Is we hope that they're deterrents, but there's no guarantee. Does the death penalty stop people from committing murder in a moment of passion? Many of us don't believe so. So it's true with all laws, but hopefully some of these people will think about some of the repercussions of doing something against the law.
So this is going to be heard on the floor of the Senate today, and there's a number of other bills on the question of domestic violence that we will be looking at in the future. Anything else that you want to talk about before we go today, Linda Siegel?
Well, I think that's it. I'll talk about the money really briefly. The solvency packages are passing both the House and the Senate, and they expect to have this year's budget deficit solved by the end of the week. And then we have to start on 2010's deficit, which we'll be talking about more.
This year's budget deficit, they've already solved it?
Well, they've solved it by cutting state government agencies by up to 5% and by diverting certain capital funds and speeding up collections of taxes. So there are a number of, there are four or five bills addressing the solvency issue for the current fiscal year.
Linda Siegel joins us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right before 9 o'clock with the Legislative Update. Linda, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, Good Morning Jazz.
Hi, Diego Mulligan here on 101.1 FM. Today on The Journey Home, a panel on the Santa Fe Affordable Housing Initiative with community organizer Tomas Rivera. Then Craig Barnes with a commentary, Scam Upon a Scam. Plus Raphael Kushner on The One Thing Holding You Back, Unleashing the Power of Emotional Connection. That's after the news at 5. Today on Your Journey Home with Santa Fe Public Radio here on KSFR 101.1 FM.